The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
And thank you for joining us for another edition of HR Today. We have an exciting show, and as always, we're sponsored by the Dubin Group and NFP. Today, we are very fortunate enough to be with Maria Morales, who is an HR professional with over 26 years in the Marine Corps, which is unbelievable. Kudos to you, and thank you for protecting us.
Thank you.
And giving us the ability to stand and listen to our national anthem and make sure that we have safety within our boundaries. Maria is with the Department of Labor helping and dealing with a valuable talent source, and that being our veterans. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Kenny.
I wanted to let everyone know that you got your human resource certificate from Villanova, completing your human resource cohort with Syracuse University in preparation for your SPHR exam and working on your master's. So you got a lot going on.
I do. Yeah. Learning is, I'm a lifelong learner.
Well, that's good. And you can hopefully transfer that knowledge to other people. So you're bringing awareness to a talent pool that sometimes is often, I shouldn't say sometimes, overlooked, and that is our vets.
Yes.
You know, I'm not even going into the tangent how they should be offered benefits equivalent, if not better, than our Senate and our Congress. I think things would change very quickly if Congress had to go to the VA. You know,
I'm going to agree with you on that.
And I say that they should get the same benefits as our vets, or the vets should get the same benefits as Congress. Let's up the level there.
Yes.
Let's see how quick they change when they have to sit next to a vet for an hour and wait to get examined, or two hours or 3 days.
Yes.
But we'll stop with my political views, and we'll get more onto why you're here, and that's to talk about the talent pool. So are there a lot of veterans currently seeking employment in the local market, let alone the national market?
Yes, absolutely. You know, veterans are always looking for work. They're a continuous transition of veterans leaving their respective military branches of service. So currently, as of August, the unemployment rate is, the U3 rate anyway, is 4.9%. So those are all the people that are just straight unemployed. Of that, veterans are at 4.3%. So in July, veterans were at 4.7%. So that unemployment rate dropped, which is a good thing, but still kind of high. It lets us know that there are a lot of veterans looking for work and seeking jobs. And when you think about the national average being 4.9% and the veteran unemployment rate is 4.3%, that's kind of a large number, I guess. That's the way I look at it anyway. When you take into consideration that less than 1% of our nation's population makes up the military service for our country, then that kind of seems like a really high number.
So you're telling me, so I think there's about 300 million people in the U.S. Can we accept
yes.
that as an approximate number? So you're saying there are 3 million vets right now out there, not vets that are post, I guess you'd say post-service.
Yes.
Correct? Post-service.
Yes.
Not in the military currently.
Not in the military.
So 3 million people are out there. And you're saying something like 4%, so it's like 120,000 vets right now looking for jobs.
Yes.
I did the math correctly.
Yes, and I can't do the math. I need an abacus and a calculator.
I'm an accountant, so I know that. So what is being done right now on the military and veteran side to enhance their ability to connect with employers and find positions that they can bring value to a company?
Well, there are a lot of different things going on. And the first thing that has been done is identifying, is there a disconnect? There's a disconnect. There's an apparent disconnect between veterans that are leaving the service and employers who are looking for quality talent. And really what it boils down to a language barrier. So the military has their own language. Corporate America has their own language.
But let me ask you something, and I don't care if it's a and I'm not being a chauvinist, but let's just take a woman that comes out of the military. They did 5 years in the Navy, Army. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
It's irrelevant. And she wants to be an administrative assistant. She knows the software, Microsoft Word. She knows a little Excel. She's polite. She is has a professional image. What's wrong? I don't see a disconnect with respect to language. I mean, she has, in this instance, she has a skill set. Granted, she was in the military for 5 years,
yes,
served our country. Why not hire someone like that? What is the perception, if that is the issue, of hiring a vet?
Well, there are a couple of things at work here, Kenny. One of them is we are in a very technically savvy environment now.
Okay.
So now let's defer to the ATS,
okay,
the dreaded ATS.
Right.
What happens is military service members, when they're putting their resumes together, they're usually having – they find it challenging to translate some of the military language to language that potential employers will understand.
And I've seen resumes, so with military service, so I understand that.
Yeah, so that's a challenge for them. And then what transpires from there is they put a resume together. It seems like a really good resume, but once the ATS reads it and compares it to the job announcement, it's not targeted, doesn't have the right keywords, and all of a sudden they go into a black hole, never to hear from the employer again.
Are there and to be advantaged, are there tax credits? Are there programs available? If you hire a vet, you get something?
Yes. Let me see. I know I have notes on it here. So absolutely. There are here we go. So there are several things. There are, for example, the VA has a special employment incentives that if you go through the VA, there are forms to fill out.
Uh-huh.
And there are incentives that come to the employer as a result of that. And then there's the work opportunity tax credit that employers can utilize. That's a federal program. And then each state has their own incentives. So what needs to happen, or what the employers can do, is they can contact their local Department of Labor and find out what kind of incentives are available for their companies on their individual state.
Now, how can HR departments enhance their veteran hiring initiatives?
Okay, so some of the things they can do, it always boils down to education, doesn't it? It's all about educating ourselves.
You're teaching me something I didn't know right now.
That's good.
Yes,
and I learn
is.
Something new every day. So what it boils down to, education, how do we educate ourselves? So some of the things that they can do is just I would highly recommend that employers contact their local Department of Labor office. They always have a veteran representative there who is a liaison, serves as a liaison between local employment employers and veterans that are registered with the American Job Centers that bridge the gap for them. They educate them on incentives, some of the talent pool that they can draw from. They'll be able to speak to them about different veterans that they have that are currently looking for employment and try to match them up. So it's a really good way to do that. Another thing I would recommend is if the company can do this, I highly recommend hiring a veteran that would be kind of like your veteran liaison or your veteran representative to kind of be that liaison in your organization. So, for example, if I could provide some examples.
Absolutely.
I would love to. So, for example, I have a friend named Will Williamson. And I'm not trying to plug any companies, but he works for Prudential, a very large organization, very, very big on their diversity hiring, and veteran hiring falls under diversity. So,
Wait, back up.
Yes.
You're saying that veterans have their own class and they're it's diversified by hiring a vet?
Yes.
Really?
It's considered diversity. Hiring a veteran falls under diversity hiring.
Huh.
Yes.
I think they should be not – diversity shouldn't even be an issue. You hire a vet, man. Kudos to you. I don't even – but go ahead.
Yes. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that they do, aside from all the different programs that they have internally, is they actually created a position for Will, where what he does is he goes to all the different Prudential locations and he educates hiring managers on the military. He teaches them about military structure, rank, some of the language, some of the questions that they can ask during the hiring managers can ask during interviews that will elicit the veteran to speak, you know, articulate,
right,
and really delve into or really kind of expand on the skills and talent that they bring to the table. So he does that. That's what he does. He travels all over and acts as a representative for Prudential in doing that. So definitely a big thing. The other thing is just creating mentors and boosters within the organization. You don't want to hire a veteran to do that. You know, just have somebody who's willing to talk, conduct informational interviews, just be able to answer questions for job seekers, for veteran job seekers who are looking to work at that organization, that company.
You know, you use Prudential as an example, and that's great. It's a big company. But you have a small company, 10, 15 people, and they have a staff accountant need. They have a, you know, this is my world. They have an admin need. They have a clerk need, someone just to go in and look at the payables and receivables, whatever it might be.
Yes.
Accounting's accounting. I don't care if you're counting widgets or if you're counting, you know, Humvees,
yes,
you know, in the desert. So how can a small company just go about and say, you know, I want to hire someone, because I think the key to hiring a vet is their interview skills, because they come from a different world.
They do.
That's the – in my perception, you can look at a piece of paper and it means crap. It's what's written on it.
Yes.
It's more important how they interview. So how can you go about as a smaller company, which most companies in America are?
Yes.
What do you do?
So there are a couple things that I can suggest. And, again, I'm not plugging any particular organization or anything. I just different resources that are available out there. So, for example, something that I know is taking place is SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Management Managers, has a diversity and inclusion conference and exposition taking place in Austin, Texas, from the 25th to the 27th of October, where they actually have a transition. They're doing a business case for hiring military veterans strategy approaches and best practices seminar. So that's something that maybe an organization like that could go to. The other thing that a lot of people aren't aware of is if you go to diversityjournal.com, it lists the 25 most influential companies for veterans hiring. And Disney has a Disney's Veterans Institute where they actually have now expanded out to other companies and showing them and teaching them how to hire veterans. And so it's really designed to help all kinds of organizations. So it's not just about their own organization.
Right.
It's about helping other businesses. The other thing, and this one is free, is USAA, that's the United Services Automobile Association. They partnered with Hiring Our Heroes, which is part of the U.S. Chamber Department of U.S. Chamber of Commerce Department Foundation. They have an employer roadmap that's a free service, and it provides – it bridges the gap between the veterans and the hiring managers is what it does. So what it does is it's specifically designed – I mean, it's designed for everybody, but specifically for those small and mid-sized organizations that don't have HR departments and, you know, and those kind of resources and that infrastructure. So they provide all kinds of insight on how to bridge the gap, how to talk
right.
to veterans, all kinds of things.
That's great.
And yeah, so –
So last question I always ask Maria, everyone, is why do you love human resources?
Oh, the reason I love human resources, honestly, is because because human resources doesn't just stop at the office. It goes with me everywhere. So it's really great to have the knowledge base that when I encounter different individuals and different people in different places, I'm able to help them and assist them. Just because I had that knowledge base where a lot of people just aren't familiar with laws and, you know, and different things.
I want to thank Maria Morales, who is the our vet guru. If they want to get in touch with you, just to learn a little bit more about veteran hiring, how would they go about doing that, Maria?
Yes. So you could reach me via email at maria.morales, that's M-O-R-A-L-E-S, 8412@yahoo.com. And then I'm also on LinkedIn at
www.linkedin.com/in/Maria Morales 7. Okay.
And the reason why I even shared that is because there are a bunch of Maria Morales.
I'm sure there are a common name. I want to thank Maria for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be
much.
Back right after this message.
Will this be the year that your company makes its move? What about the one or two people in your organization who are still question marks? Maybe their way of thinking is not progressive. Have their computer and accounting skills faded? Are they still doing things the way they've always done them? That's a bad fit if they're making key decisions for your company. Letting go a key employee is never easy. The Dubin Group can help. They conduct confidential replacement hiring for clients that need to make an immediate change and replace a current key employee with a top talent that will keep your company growing. From the recruitment and screening of candidates to conducting off-site interviews and every step to the final offer. Call Ken Dubin right now. The Dubin Group, matching the right people with the right companies for over 15 years in the Delaware Valley. Confidentially replacing an employee is never easy. Let the Dubin Group help. Call right now. When it comes to employee benefits, the name to know is Sharon Planning, the premier employee benefit consulting firm in the Delaware Valley. Sharon Planning is headquartered right here and has been serving companies in the Delaware Valley for over 15 years. Sharon Planning focuses on middle market firms with as few as 100 employees and as many as 5,000 employees. However, they also serve clients with 3,000 to 30,000 employees. They specialize in planning, designing, implementing, and managing an effective employee benefit package for your team from start to finish. Sharon Planning will save your company money while maximizing your employees' benefits and make their lives easier. Get the Sharon Planning team with over 65 employees, 160 clients, and $500 million in managed premium on your side. Contact Rich Kreckstein, Director of Business Development, right now at rkreckstein@sharon.nfp.com. That's rkreckstein, K-R-E-K-S-T-E-E-N, at sharon.nfp.com. Sharon Planning can make a difference for your company.
Welcome back to the second half of HR Today. As always, I keep mentioning we are sponsored by NFP for any of your retirement health benefits needs up there in Bucks County, and the Dubin Group for any accounting, admin, or HR temp or direct hire placement. We are joined by Ed Keith, the HR and safety manager at Bartash Printing. Ed has a long history specific to safety and safety facilities and corporate safety and risk management, with a long storied career, with talent acquisition, employee relations, conflict management. And I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We know that you are with Bartash, which is an award-winning cold set commercial printer in Philly. They have 6 press lines, full pre-press, post-press imaging, mailing capabilities, full color printing and fulfillment distribution, the whole gamut, award-winning service, and 24/7 tech support, which most printers do not have. Mm-hmm. Today's topic is what makes great managers, coaching managers to be great leaders. And it always reminds me of a little blurb I see on LinkedIn all the time, a leader versus a manager versus a dictator. And the leader and manager, same thing, different blurb. Just for those of you at home who obviously can't see this, the boss is the guy that, you know, takes credit for everything and blames everyone, and the leader is the person that helps them get over the hurdle and coaches them and gives them credit and, you know, is the rah-rah. So very interesting. So I guess we have the same mindset. So let's talk a little bit, Ed, about what are the 3 principles of coaching?
You know, my background is coaching. There's 3 things I always look at in terms of coaching. Where I was at DiSabatino Maintenance, I taught a course called The Practical Coach. It's from a book called The Practical Coach, and there's 3 basic principles: inspiring, encouraging, and challenging. Inspiring is basically knowing the people that you're working with. You know, there's some that are in the front, some that want to be on the sidelines, some that want to be in the back. And the key is, how do you motivate these people to perform, and how do they motivate you? How do you motivate these people to be part, to meet your goals?
Right.
The second part is to encourage. Encourage means if you see somebody doing something really, really well, tell them thank you.
Sure.
We as a society have lost that effect of really thanking somebody for what they've done for us, because you never know. People are always watching, and I believe in going out of my way to tell people, thank you for doing this.
Right.
The little things, like one of the challenges I've had at Bartash Printing is getting people to wear their earplugs. If I see them doing something great, I'll go up and say, hey, thanks for doing that. Thanks for sweeping the floor. I look at everything. And, you know, when it's free. It's free. And it's amazing what a thank you will do when you go out of your way to say thanks. And the third principle is basically when you challenge somebody, when you look at someone's performance. And this comes right from the book called The Practical Coach. First, ask these questions. Did you give them the right information? Were they trained properly? And then finally, if you had all the right information, sit down with them and always make it positive and private. And also give them the opportunity to fix their problem themselves. Let them buy into it.
They own it that way.
They own it. That's right. They own it. And when they own it, then you can hold them accountable. And down the road, say, well, this is what you agreed to. And that's the key. And it all turns around caring for the people. Caring for the people that you supervise. It goes back to what we just talked about, a boss versus a leader. A leader coaches people. You know, I've been in HR for 25 years and gone to school, all these courses. And the things that have helped me the most in terms of dealing with people and building those relationships is in another life, I've coached Little League teams and soccer teams. And it's the same principles coaching kids. I'm just coaching adults. And it's just paying attention to what you're doing and letting them know that you're remembering them and caring about them. And then hopefully that positive environment will lead people to for positive performance.
We should have had this talk before I got thrown out of Little League last year for coaching after 6 years. And I'm not kidding. I got thrown out. So let's talk a little bit about what makes a great manager. I mean, we can talk about coaching, but just because you coach someone doesn't necessarily mean that is a good lead in to being a great manager.
Well, to be a good manager, to be a good manager, basically you want to build relationships with people underneath you. You want to pay attention to them, okay? You want to communicate with them. One of the things I've done in my career is coached managers in terms of doing performance appraisals. Mm-hmm. And the key to any good performance appraisal is this. There shouldn't be any surprises. You should be talking to them throughout the whole year. How many times do things get lost because manager doesn't go out there, doesn't care, doesn't do whatever? Be involved in them. Understand where they're coming from. And set goals for them, and then make sure that they're meeting their goals. If you're a good manager, you're doing that on a regular basis.
So when you're setting these goals, it's not, hey, each quarter you have to do this goal. And I've learned through my career, you don't just at the end of the quarter say how'd you do, but halfway through the quarter, how you making out?
That's
where
right.
Are you?
Exactly. That's exactly. And if there needs to be some additional training. Development.
Motivation.
Hey, do this, do that. Like I said, I came from the floor. So when someone tells me that they're not doing something and you don't understand, well, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I was a machinist for 5 years, working my way through school, running a Bridgeport machine. Uh-huh. I've unloaded trucks. I know what it means, you know, driving forklifts and things like that. So, you know, you got to be there. You got to be walking around. You got to be genuine. You know, you got to be genuine.
I think not only being genuine, the other thing that, you know, you can respect a manager much more when they went through the ranks.
Yes.
So as you just said to your point, you have driven a forklift.
Oh, yeah.
So don't sit here and tell me you don't know what it's like. Yeah, I know what it's like.
That's right.
You know, I unloaded boxes in 100-degree heat when I was 20. I mean, I don't think we'd want to do that.
No.
But when you've done the job yourself.
Right.
I think the employee can relate to you much better.
Well, you know, before I got into HR, I was headed to have an education degree at Glassboro State College.
Right.
I wanted to coach baseball.
Right.
I'm passionate about baseball. And one of the courses I had to take was Team Sports for Men 1. And the first segment of the course was baseball. Well, we met out on the baseball field, and the coach was a guy named Mickey Birilia. He took the Glassboro State Profs to the World Series and won it twice back in the 70s. And he said, if you're going to teach it, you better know how to play it. Now, in high school, I played center field. So I learned how to play every other position. So if you're going to teach them how to play second base, you got to show them how to. You got to be there. And I took that same philosophy into my professional career in HR. You had to know how to drive a forklift, learn what to do, production, not be afraid to go around the machinery, not be afraid to go down to the floor. You know, actions speak louder than words. They got to see you. You just can't sit up in my office and expect things to happen. I got to go down to the floor, and I got to be out there.
Right.
And you see what you get. Mm-hmm. You know, people are always watching you.
Yeah. Today's society, they are.
They're always watching you. Yeah. So how do you, you know, actions speak louder than words.
So when you're out there on the floor and you're looking at stuff and you see what's happening, you're hands-on, What are some health issues facing our society today when it comes to, from an HR perspective or from, you know, your experiences?
One of the biggest things facing our society today is obesity. Okay? And
if you saw what I ate last night.
And 80% of it's right here in the United States.
Sure.
And obesity leads to what? High blood pressure,
heart disease, cancer,
obesity, bad backs, you know. And as we've gotten older, we don't work out. We don't watch what we eat, you know. When I was at DiSabatino Maintenance, one of my coworkers got me on this this app on my phone. I've been tracking my food. I've been tracking what I eat. I'm still eating the same thing, tracking my exercises. Started in April. This year, I've lost 18 pounds.
Wow.
Which is tremendous. I'm running better. I'm swimming. But, you know, it just makes sense that when we were younger, we were playing sports. We were stretching, doing this, doing that. I do pre-shift stretching. As we got older, we've gotten away from that. We don't eat right. We don't do this. We don't do this. And if you wonder what some of the problems with healthcare are, well, it's a cost because we don't take care of ourselves.
Well, I'll go one step further. I have two kids, 12 and 13.
Right.
On a nice day, can we go play Xbox? I think they have a PS4.
Right.
No. Get outside and
go,
oh, Dad, you don't know what I'm like, kids,
yeah.
This is your show, not
right.
mine.
Right, right.
I rode my bike 10 miles every day. I didn't track it. We rode all over the neighborhood every day. After school, you played football at the park or baseball. It wasn't. No one sat inside.
Right. Well, you know, like I told you earlier, I'm a big believer in being proactive.
Sure.
Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
Before we had children, I ran marathons.
Right.
All my kids run. In fact, my oldest son and my youngest daughter have run the Disney Marathon several times. My second son's in the running, and it comes from somewhere. You know, you got to set the example, and that's what makes a good manager. You got to set the example. And they got to see you. So that's what it's all about.
I think to your point with that, they see you running.
Yeah.
You know, my kids see. I sat in the car for 3 hours coming back from Penn State. I got out. I ran 4 miles. I came back. They were sitting there. I said, get outside. Go run. They each ran a mile.
Right.
You know, they were bummed and tired,
well,
but get out.
I'll tell you a funny story.
All ears.
I'm wearing this shirt.
I see your Phillies fantasy camp. Yeah.
I've gone there twice.
Right.
Okay. First year I went down there. 2012.
Okay.
I pulled a hamstring in the first game.
Oof.
Went down. Kevin Stocker was my coach. And what happened was Kevin Stocker, Mike Lieberthal were my coach. He said, what do you want to do? I said, just let me play. I can get through. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I stretched. So on Sunday, my son, oldest son who lives in Florida, who's an honors math teacher, came over to pick me up. So I introduced him to Mike Lieberthal and Kevin Stocker, who they watched as kids in the 90s.
Sure, sure.
And the first thing Mike Lieberthal says to my son Gregory, he goes, your father can still hit the ball. And Gregory goes, he can hit better than I can. And this was the thing that really buckled my knees. He goes, you know, your father really hurt himself bad. He's pulled his hamstring, and he just sucked it up and played. We tried to give him pinch runner, but, you know, he just played. And the first words out of my 27-year-old son's mouth were, I wouldn't expect anything from him. Actions speak louder. That's how I live my life, and that's how I rule. Well, not rule. I shouldn't say rule. That's how I manage, or that's how I became an HR manager in a production site.
Why don't you tell everyone, Ed, why do you love human resources?
Because I get a chance to just not help an organization. I get a chance to help people every single day to improve performance.
I'm going to repeat one of your favorite quotes from Apollo 13 from Ed Keith. Failure is not an option. Let's take that with us. We're lucky enough to be joined by Ed Keith, HR and Safety Manager at Bartash Printing. Why don't you tell everyone how to get in touch with you or Bartash if they want to look at a job?
Basically, you can email me at eKeith, that's E, lowercase e, Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at Bartash.com, and my phone number is basically 215-495-1807.
Ed, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your day. Thanks, everyone, for listening to another edition of HR Today.